First, according to a new report from the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism, at least 170 Catholic priests and brothers in the state have been credibly accused of sexual abuse. That number is likely to grow. Only three of Wisconsin's dioceses have released names of abusive priests. The other two have not. Plus, many religious orders have not shared information on the issue. The center talked with abuse victims about what happened to them and how the abuse affected their lives. It also reported on actions the church says it has taken to prevent abuse and provide transparency. Bram Sable-Smith is the WPR Mike Simonson Memorial Investigative Reporting Fellow at the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. Bram, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about those numbers. First of all, what can you tell us about where we arrive at this number of about 170 priests and brothers?
That's right. As you mentioned, there are five dioceses in the state of Wisconsin, in Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, La Crosse, and Superior. Three of those dioceses conducted their own investigations and publicly released the names of priests who had credible allegations of sexual abuse within the diocese. So there were 48 names in Milwaukee, 48 also in Green Bay. Here in Madison, there were 8. But then, as you mentioned, La Crosse and Superior, neither one of those dioceses have publicly released a list of information. So we looked at other sources of information, public records, case records, as well as reporting that's been done around the state over the past many years to try to come up with an accurate number in those dioceses as well.
And that the idea that some dioceses have released information like this, others haven't, it points toward comes out in this story you worked on, a patchwork of responses. They're all part of the same overarching Catholic organization, but they're approaching issues like transparency and investigations differently.
That's exactly right. Between the five dioceses, we know that every single one of them has taken their own investigation of what occurred within their diocese, but the way they're handling it is very different, and the way they're releasing it to the public is very different. And that doesn't include the few dozen, I think 22 religious orders in the state of Wisconsin who are separate from the diocese, and they also handle this in different ways at all. We only really got really good numbers from one of those orders.
As we mentioned, some are releasing these names, some aren't. The Madison Diocese has published names on its website. I want to give a listen to Bishop Donald Hying and what he had to say about it.
I think it does several things that are helpful. It certainly gives credibility to victims of those individuals. Oftentimes when they would make their allegations, they would not be believed, even sometimes by their own families. So this gives credibility to those who have been so severely damaged by those individual priests. And secondly, I think it opens the door for others who perhaps have been abused by those individuals to also come forward and find healing.
The Catholic Church has been under a lot of criticism in Wisconsin, around the country, around the world for not taking steps like these to do those two things that we just heard the bishop talking about there. As you look at that diocese and others and other organizations, are they talking about what can they do to help the victims and find healing?
I think it's happening in varying degrees between the different dioceses. I think that's one of the issues of the patchwork that you mentioned before. What the bishop was talking about there, the two points he made, I just want to emphasize that those seem really kind of, it's a drastically different approach than what a lot of what we've seen in the past from the way that dioceses have responded to these allegations. So the first point he made, naming the priests to give credence to the people who have come forward with accusations of abuse that happened to them when they were children within the diocese. That's a hugely important step. So opening that door is really and giving that credibility to survivors is a really, really important step. You could almost call it radical, the emphasis on that. And then opening that door to have more people come forward, it just shows kind of something of a change in how the church has responded, particularly at the Madison Diocese here. And Bishop Hying he's new. He just became bishop there this year. So it's a very directional shift for how the diocese seems to be responding.
For the organizations that haven't done things like reveal the name of priests who have had these credible allegations of abuse, like the Superior Diocese and La Crosse Diocese, what are they saying about why they're not doing what their colleagues have done?
It's hard to say. In some cases, we just haven't really gotten responses. In the case of the Superior Diocese, we haven't, our requests for information just have gone unresponded to. At La Crosse, in the La Crosse Diocese, it seems like they are wrapping up their own investigation. So we are expecting to see a list coming out of that diocese later in the year is what they've said. So that one seems to be something of a timeline.
Talking to Bram Sable-Smith with the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism, talking about a report from the center on priest abuse here in Wisconsin and how different organizations have responded to it and how it's affected the lives of victims. And that's where I want to turn now. You profile some victims of clergy abuse who have come forward, including a woman named Patty Gallagher Marchant. Can you tell us her story?
Yeah, Patty Gallagher Marchant grew up going to a parochial school here in Monona, Wisconsin. And in 1965, when she was seven in second grade, there's a young charismatic priest named Lawrence Trainer who befriended her family. He would come over for dinners. He would go out drinking with her father. And he sexually abused her. She violated her in every way imaginable is what she says. And so the way it occurred was simply he would have elected special child at the school for a given week or month or some period of time who would come and bring him his daily milk before school in his office. And that's where it would occur. And that's what happened with her.
And now years, decades later, Gallagher Marchant is a psychotherapist. Here's what she says still badly frustrates her.
Anywhere else in our culture, if a teacher, a janitor, a neighbor, an uncle, a brother, a grandma, anybody violates a child, the community is outraged. In my case, nobody showed any outrage. There was no outrage. That's what's painful. Where's the outrage? Even from the Catholic community, that's what makes me really mad to this day. Like, where is the outrage?
And she had come forward before this was a widely known, or at least widely openly acknowledged scandal, I should say.
That's exactly right. She said she's been told she was the first person to publicly come forward to report this in the state of Wisconsin. We haven't verified that, but she was definitely among the first very early on. 1991 is when she came forward. And Patty Gallagher Marchant's story is very indicative of a lot of survivors of pre-sexual abuse. It occurred when she was very young. She repressed those memories for many, many, many years. The average age that people actually remember, that people report the sexual abuse that occurred when they were children, is 52. She, in her case, when she was 35 in 1991, her own daughter turned seven, which is the age that she was when she suffered from the abuse. And that brought the flooding of memories back to her. She reported it to the diocese because she wanted to let them know that there's this priest who's still active within the diocese who's out there still. To her, it became very apparent that she was perceived as a threat in those conversations for the diocese. And they went into a kind of arduous legal process that ended in a settlement for her in 1992, I believe. But it actually gagged her from being able to speak the name publicly of the priest who committed the abuse against her for many years.
I can't remember if it was her, one of the victims you talked to, talked about feeling like she was treated as a leper. Basically, everybody turned away from her. And I think it was Gallagher Marchant who reported they sort of mocked her, like, what do you want us to do, set up a hotline for priest abuse survivors, which I think may exist now, though they joked about it then.
They joked about it then, and that actually was one of the five things that she had demanded when she came in 1991, when she got into into this legal process with the church. She had asked for an apology, a public apology. She'd asked for a meeting with the priest who abused her, a confrontational meeting. She had asked for a meeting with the bishop to talk about moving things forward. She had asked for resources to be there for people like her who had suffered this abuse. And then she asked for the monetary settlement. It took a long time for these resources to come into play. So every diocese now in Wisconsin does have a number you can call, people who are the dedicated people to field request information, things like that.
And one ongoing issue, Bram, is how the church and how various elements of the church are training staff, whether that's priests or support personnel or administrators or whatever, in ways to try to prevent abuse. What kind of approaches are we seeing?
Yeah, advocates like SNAP, the SNAP network, that's a survivors network of those abused by priests. They're very outspoken on a national level about this issue. It's the same issues they have with the training that's being done are the issues that they have with how the investigations themselves are being done. And that's that. One, it's a patchwork. There's no kind of common training being done between the churches. There are resources available through insurance agencies and others for training and creating safe environment spaces. But there's no outside. I guess their criticism, activist criticism, is that this is training that's done by the church for the church, and activists would rather see outsiders coming in, the secular community coming in and training church officials.
Bram, thanks for sharing your reporting with us today.
Thanks very much.
Bram Sable-Smith is the WPR Mike Simonson Memorial Investigative Reporting Fellow at the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. We talked with him about the center's new report on clergy abuse here in Wisconsin. You can read the full story and find contact info to report clergy abuse. That's all linked at WPR.org.